I don't want to spread rumors, but apparently there's going to be a party, and Sam's invited, so I don't know. We have to figure out where it is, and then we'll let you all know. Wouldn't that be a surprise party? It is a real privilege to be able to have Bill Martin back in town so we can see him again. For those of you who don't know, Bill and Kathy Martin have been a part of Grace Church for many, many years. And they met at Grace Church back in what year, Bill? 1988. And from Grace Church, they were called into the mission field. And then they went, and I think Bill went to seminary, and they did some training. And then in 2008, they went to Dakar, Senegal. And they have been ministering faithfully there since that time. And so we don't get to see them as often as we like, but when they're in town, we always enjoy their presence. And at Grace, we very much want to lift up missions work as a whole. And so when our missionaries in town, we want to give them time to talk with the body and share with us where they've been, where they're going, how they see God at work in their lives. And so this morning, we're going to let Bill come on up, and he's going to take us through the Word this morning. And you know, we're particularly excited to have Bill here representing Converge and his ministry in Dakar, Senegal, because we are excited about the fact that we're going to be sending a vision trip. We're going to be hosting a vision trip to Senegal in March. And we're going to be sharing more of those details, but we're very excited about what God is going to be doing through that time. So we're actually going to be able to go visit him instead of his always coming here. So be looking for more information on that trip, because we believe it's going to be an exciting adventure that God's going to take Grace Church through. So Bill, can I pray for you before
yes,
we
thank you.
Start? Oh, Father God, we're so thankful for Bill and Kathy and all that they're doing. We thank you, Father God, that they have submitted themselves to your leading and your purposes. We thank you, Father God, for this word that you've laid upon his heart. And we pray, Father, now that through your Holy Spirit, that word would speak into our lives, draw us into an ever-deepening and closer relationship with you, that we may know how high and wide and long and deep is your love for us. Calm his spirit, Father God. Allow him to be peaceful in you, trusting that he's got what you've given him. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you and see you. I see a number of familiar faces and some new faces, new to me, but maybe not new to the church. But anyway, it's great to be here always. And as Wes said, we don't get to get here as often as we would like. But we're glad. I'm glad I'm here today. As we were singing there, I thought it's kind of a silly thing, but a few weeks ago we were driving in our car, my wife and my daughter Anna, who's a senior in high school. We were in Dakar, and we were driving in our car. So you got to be careful with that. But it was hot. It's hot and humid this time of year. And we have a 94 Toyota Land Cruiser with 402,000 kilometers on it, and it's still running, thanks be to God. And more importantly, the air conditioning still works, okay? So we're very glad for that, but it doesn't work great. I mean, it works okay, but if the car's been parked out in the sun or whatever, and then you get in it, it you know, it takes a while for it to cool off. And so I was kind of putting my hand in front of the vent as if that's going to make it work better, you know, I don't know, but I made just the comment, you know, the air conditioning is not overwhelming, you know, and Anna said, yeah, it's not even whelming, you know, it's not, so that made me think of that hymn there, you know, the whelming flood, but so anyway, that's not really important, but as you go out today, I'll just mention briefly before we get into it here, there's a few things that you can urge you to pick up. There's our prayer card, has our picture on it, has a little bit of description about what we're doing. Please take those and put them on your fridge or in your Bible or whatever. There's a trifold brochure that has more, a little bit more detail about what we're doing now in Dakar, and encourage you to take that. And then most importantly, there's something that looks like this. It's a kind of a large bookmark. And it's called 7 Days of Prayer for the Metro Dakar Initiative. So I hope that those will be all gone when I walk out of the church today. So please take one of these and use it. It's very simple. Just each day of the week, there's a theme or a topic you can pray about and a verse that goes with it. And so I would love to hope that will help you as you pray for us. And thank you for your prayers so much. So it is great to be here. And just want to pray before we get into the Word together. So let's pray now. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you, Lord. Thank you for your Word and that you have given it to us, that it's available to us in our language, in a whole bunch of different translations, in fact. And thank you, Lord, for that. And we ask you to open our hearts to your Word this morning, Lord. Teach us what you would have us to learn, and not only just learn, but how you would have us to obey what we learn, Lord. So thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So, I think we're going to have slides. Is that right, gentlemen? Yes, there we go. So Paul and the Church of Antioch is kind of our topic here, and before we get into that, I just wanted to, you know, I'm a missionary, so I'm going to talk about missions, obviously, you know that. And a lot of you are very familiar with a lot of the classic passages talking about missions, and that's good. But this is maybe one that's less familiar, and it's coming, I think. Sorry, I went the wrong way. Okay, there we go. So why missions? And so here's a verse that I think is one reason why we should be engaged in mission, both around the world and also across the street. So Jesus said these words in John 15, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So when we bear fruit, the Father is glorified. And our Heavenly Father deserves to be glorified, not only by us right here, but by all the peoples on the earth. And most of the people, the vast majority of the people in Senegal and many other places around the world, as you know, do not yet, are not yet giving glory to God. So that is, in the real big picture, why we do what we do. So before we get into our principal passages this morning in the book of Acts, I do want to do something a little unusual here. I want to read a list of names, and I'm going to put the list up in a moment, but first I just want you to hear and listen to the names, okay? And think about, as you hear these names, you know, who were these people? What do they have in common? They do have something in common that may not be obvious at first, but and I just tell you in advance, it is not a list of like most popular baby names in 2019. It's not that kind of list, okay? But these are folks that there's a biblical connection, okay? So I'll give you a little bit of a hint there. But so here are the names. There's 11 of them. And so I'm going to read them, and then I'll put up the slide, and you can see them, and we'll get to see them again. But so we have Lucius, Manaen, Sergius Paulus, Lydia, Titius Justus, Epaphras, Gaius, Aristarchus, Sopater, Secundus, and Tychicus. Now I have to apologize. I'm sure that I mispronounced some of those names. They are not here to correct me. But let me put up the list here. Here they are. So what do these people have in common? They all spent time with Paul in some way, okay? That is the thing they have in common. Some of them were his co-workers. Some of them were people that he reached out to, like Lydia, who was the first believer in Philippi. Some of them got dragged in front of a mob, like Gaius in Ephesus. But all of these people had an association with Paul. And the reason I put up this list is these are probably not names you hear people talking about very much. And that's fine. They're minor players, if you will. But the point is that the Great Commission is something that cannot be accomplished by one person. And you know that, but you know, we talk a lot about Paul, and that's appropriate. And we, of course, Jesus, we do need to talk a lot about him. But talking about human people, human beings, the Great Commission is impossible to accomplish by any one person, no matter how gifted he or she is. And so all of these people played a role in helping the church grow way back in the first century. So just wanted to mention that. Now, before we continue, I have to mention an important caveat. We're going to be looking at the relationship between Paul and the Church of Antioch. And so I do need to let you know that I'm not Paul. That's obvious, right? I haven't performed any miracles, as far as I know. But I do share a few things in common with Paul. So I wanted to take advantage of that. So like Paul, my name has four letters, okay, Bill, okay, so that's something I share in common with Paul, and that's kind of nice, you know. So this is more significant. My freshman year of college, my roommate's name was Paul, okay, so that's cool, right? So, and that's maybe about where the similarities end between me and Paul, okay, so as I look at that list, and, you know, maybe one day I might be like Tychicus, maybe. By the grace of God, maybe Epaphras, perhaps, but there is one other similarity I do want to mention that is worth mentioning. It's not because of anything I did, but because of what God did. So, like Paul, I am a sent one. I am someone called by God to go to another place and share the gospel with the people there. And so, as we look at this example between Paul and the Church of Antioch, I just wanted you to know that. So. We're going to go ahead and get into our first passage, and that is Acts 11, 25 to 30. And so we're going to kind of be hitting the highlights, so to speak, in several passages in Acts, and encourage you, if you have your Bibles, to turn there. It's also on the screen. And so this is the beginning of Paul's connection with the Church of Antioch. So we have it starting in verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul, Saul is Paul, okay, so we had to clear that up. But so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. And so the reason I want to highlight that particular passage is that first, understand that the church at Antioch was quite young at this stage of church history, okay? This is maybe about roughly 10 years after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. And so we see that Paul and Barnabas, they ministered to the church over a period of time. It says a whole year. And then they were getting to know people. We can be certain of that. They were earning the trust of the body there. And so when it came time to send this cash gift to Jerusalem, they decided to entrust that to Paul and Barnabas. And so, you know, when you're sending cash with somebody, you don't just give it to any old body. You give it to somebody that you believe is going to deliver it to the person you want it to go to, right? As far as I know, they did not have a checking account there in Antioch. And so that was their way to help people, to send this cash. And so they trusted, they had developed trust with Paul and Barnabas over time. And so after each of these points, I'm going to shift gears a little bit and talk about how that relates to us today, okay? So our story. And so as Wes mentioned, our connection with Grace began in 1988 when I moved here, and Kathy and I met. I say that we met in the back of the old church building, right next to the world map that had the little LED lights on it. Some of you may remember that. She says it was later at Art Stuckey's place out in Boyceville. So we have a little bit of a disagreement about the exact time, but we agree on the day and the town or the region we agree on. But so anyway, that was the beginning of our relationship, and also the beginning of our relationship with you. We got married here in 1990 on April 28th, and it was 95 degrees, which we never imagined that it would be that hot on that part of the year. But and we got to know many of you. We served in a couple different ways. Kathy was a church secretary for a few years, one of them, and I served on the missions committee with some of you, and that was great. And then we moved to Rochester, New York, in 1993, and then we just were able to come back and visit occasionally. But so that was the beginning of our relationship with this body of Christ. And we have always been thankful for that and continue to be. So we're going to keep going here and go on to the next passage in Acts 13. So we're kind of jumping through here, hitting on some highlights. And here, Acts 13, the beginning, we'll read starting at verse 1. Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So here's some of those names that were on my list. Okay, they're right here in Acts 13. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Okay, so we're going to talk about this a little bit. So it struck me that it says that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. Okay, that was the environment, that was the situation, what they were doing when the Holy Spirit gave them very clear direction about what to do and about sending Barnabas and Saul. And so this wasn't during a committee meeting. You know, it wasn't, it was actually during worship that this happened. And also notice that this happened while they were fasting. Okay, it says they were worshiping and fasting. Okay, and it seems clear that this was not a one-time occurrence. Later there's another reference to fasting there that says after they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so we can be certain that fasting was a regular thing in the Antioch church. You know something about fasting. You know, Jesus, I think, assumed fasting when he gave us instructions about how to do it in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. You know, he said, when you fast, don't look downcast and, oh, I'm suffering for the Lord. You know, he said, wash your face and just pray in secret and so on. Another occasion in Mark 9, and we don't have this on the screen, but where, you know, John's disciples, some of the Pharisees said, they came to Jesus and they said, well, we fast, you know, all the time. You know, how come your disciples don't fast? What's up with that? And Jesus said, well, why would they do that when the bridegroom is with them? But when the bride, and that he's referring to himself, when the bridegroom is taken away, in those days they will fast. And so we are now in those days, okay? Jesus is not walking around with us. And so we are in those days when fasting is appropriate at times. So now, as you can see by looking at me, I'm not an expert on fasting, okay? So that, you have to, there's no mystery there about that. But, and my experience in this church and every church I've ever been a part of is that we're good at feasting. We really like to do that. We're you know, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But fasting, maybe not so much. Maybe that's a little bit of a weakness, at least it is for me. I think, though, that this is an example that we need to follow. Now, we can learn how to fast and pray, to how to worship, fast while we're worshiping. So, you know, you can take baby steps, you know. That could mean skipping a lunch and spending that time in prayer instead. You know, it could mean going from one dinner to another without eating, okay, and spending those meal times praying. Very simple. One thing I'll just highlight is the make sure that you pray during those times, that you're not just skipping the meal. So sometimes I've tried to do this, and I get busy with other things, and I end up, I don't eat, but then I'm not actually spending the time praying, and so that's not the idea. So then it's just a diet plan, okay? That's not called, that's not what God is talking about here. The diet plan might be helpful, but that's not what, you know, the focus here. So so that's something, at least for me, that I need to grow in, and perhaps that's something you need to grow in as well. So how does this relate to us in terms of thinking about missionaries being sent out and going to places? Senegal, as many of you know, is a predominantly Muslim country. It's had many missionaries over the years. There's freedom of religion there, and we're thankful for that. Some going back to the 1930s, actually, and then a lot more since 1960 when Senegal became independent. And thanks be to God, there has been some fruit. You know, things like the New Testament has been translated into most of the languages of most of the ethnic groups there. Parts of the Old Testament have been translated as well. But only among the smaller people groups has there been much response to the gospel. So among the third largest people group, called the Serer, there has been significant response, so that maybe 1% of the Serer are believers, okay? Now in Senegal, that's a really big number, okay? So if 1% of this ethnic group has is following Christ, that's quite significant, because the other groups are a fraction of 1%, a small fraction. And so among the largest two people groups, excuse me, the Wolof, and that's W-O-L-O-F, not wall of people, but Wolof, okay, so that's confusing. But and the second largest people group, the Fulani, there's maybe 100 believers in each of those groups, okay? And we're talking about a population of several million for each of those ethnic groups. And so there are more believers right here, sitting right here in this room, you know, than that, than 100, certainly. So it's really startling. So there's a lot of work to do. And it seems clear to us that breakthrough is only going to happen when a prayer movement is really going on, and when we are pleading with the Lord for His grace to be poured out, and for asking Him to act in unprecedented ways. And so that's what we are beginning to do, and we're asking you to help us. So I also just want to point out before we go on here that it says the Holy Spirit set apart for me Barnabas and Paul, or Saul, for the work to which I've called them. So the Antioch church sent out some of their best people, okay? So if, you know, God calls Wes and Karen to come to Senegal, I don't want you to hold on to them tightly. I want you to release them, okay? So you ready for that, Wes? Is that good? okay, so I did not give him a warning that was going to come up there. But we're going to move on. So here, they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. And actually, verse 4 says that very specifically that we didn't look at. But so here we have a map. Some of you are map people. I'm a map person. We're not going to spend much time with this. But this is just a very big picture idea of Paul's first missionary journey. And they went to a number of places. They went to first to Cyprus. And they went on, they sailed, and then went to Antioch of Pisidia, up there in the upper left-hand corner. And so they came from Antioch, but this is Antioch of Pisidia. So I relate this as like London, Kentucky. You know, it's not like the London. There's like London, Kentucky, and then there's like London, London. You know, so Antioch here in the upper left corner is like London, Kentucky a little bit. But they went to Iconium and Lystra, to Derbe. And interestingly, there was we're not going to look at all of this text, okay, but just to mention a couple of highlights there during this journey, they had a pattern. They would go into the synagogue typically on the Sabbath, and they would teach. And oftentimes there was some people would respond, some people would believe, and then they'd go again the next week. But then it kind of follows a pattern. The Jews got jealous. They got, oh, wait a minute, why is everybody following this Paul guy, and he's got some weird ideas to them? And so they would stir up the crowd. The Jews apparently in that time were very good at inciting a mob. That seems to be one of their gifts there. But so they would stir up the crowd and run Paul and his companions out of town, And so they would go, you know, they got stoned in one case later. And so they did these things. Now, the interesting thing to me is, so they got to Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. And then in all these places, they had been run out of town by the Jews who were jealous. There had been some fruit. But then it's interesting because it says that they decided to go back to those places and visit the believers there. And so if I had been there, and it's good that I wasn't, because if I had been there, I would have said, now, Paul, hang on, buddy, you know, this is cool, you know, but remember what happened when we went to those places. You know, remember how we got run out of town. Maybe that's not the best idea, but that's how the Holy Spirit was leading them, and they did that, and God blessed it. So we're going to keep going here now. And so at the end of the journey, they came and they reported back to the church, okay? And we have here, this is in chapter 14 of Acts, verses 26 to 28, and it says, from Attalia they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Remember, this was very early church history. Most of the people who believed in Christ came from a Jewish background. The church at Antioch was an exception to that. And most of the people that Paul and Barnabas talked with were Gentiles. That was that was still a new thing, okay, but and a great thing. And so they went back, they reported everything that God had done through them. That's interesting and important for us to note. So it's what God had done. It's not what Paul and Barnabas did. It's what God had done through them, and that's still true today as well for us and anybody else doing any work, whether it's at Trunk or Treat or it's in Dakar Senegal. And and it says that God opened the door to the Gentiles, and that, I believe, was in response to the church's prayers. In response to the church's prayers, we don't have the details of how the Antioch church, what they were doing and so on, how often did they have a prayer meeting, you know, while we don't know that, but I have to believe that they were, not only did they pray as they sent Paul and Barnabas out, but they were praying during that time as well. And so God works in response to our prayers. And just to share with you one example of that, in Senegal recently, so there's a young man named Roy. Some of you have been praying for him for a few years now. He is a Muslim, he had been in a Bible study with me and a colleague for a couple of years, and very interested in learning about Jesus and so on. Had not entered the kingdom of God yet, but and during the month of Ramadan, the Muslim month of fasting, and there's a focus on spirituality with the Muslims during the month of Ramadan. They do extra study and so on. And so, unbeknownst to us, Roy had done quite a bit of investigation and study during the month of Ramadan into the person of Jesus Christ, into his nature, his identity. He was reading up about the various church councils going way back when the church was trying to sort out exactly, okay, the nature of Jesus and so on. And so he did that. We didn't know about that at the time. And then he called up my colleague, Dave, and said, hey, you know, I'd like to talk with you, and I have some spiritual questions to ask you or something. And so Dave said, yeah, sure, yeah, let's get together. So they got together, and they spent 3 hours at a restaurant, and Roy was asking Dave all these questions, sharing with him some of these things he had learned, some of which were out of whack. But the point is that Roy was seeking, he was investigating, well, who was Jesus really, you know? Who was he, you know, okay? And so that's really significant. That does not happen every day, okay? That has never happened until it happened in early June. And I'm certain that happened because some of you and other people were praying for Roy, for God to work in his heart. So God is moving in response to our prayers. So that's so important. So we're going to continue here and look briefly at a passage here in Acts 15. This is in between journeys, okay, and a little bit of a fly in the ointment here. And we start reading. It says, certain people, this is starting at verse 1, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. So just pointing this out because, they entrusted Paul and Barnabas. You know, this was a sticky thing, a situation where there were some who were trying to add something to the gospel, saying, well, not only do you need Jesus, but you also need to be circumcised, you also need to do this and that and the other thing. And Paul and Barnabas were like, no, that's not what Jesus said, that's not right. And the church entrusted them to take that message to Jerusalem. So, so building trust is so important, and as we're talking about some interactions with Paul and the Church of Antioch, and so as we think about our situation and our story, it's a little bit of a new idea for maybe for a missionary to actually contribute to the growth of the sending church. Okay, but in fact, that's what we believe God is calling us to in some different ways. And so what might that look like? You know, I mean, it could be trying to help develop a culture of prayer in the church. You know, it could be training those of you who come on a short-term team to give you skills to not only do what you're doing in Senegal, but also reach out to your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends back here in Ulster County. A number of different ways, and we're exploring that together. So I look forward to how what God is going to show us there, but we want to actually visit you more often. That's part of what we want to really do, and when we are here, we want to not just be here on a Sunday morning, but we want to, you know, spend some time otherwise, like we did last night, for example, and so have more opportunity to interact with you and share with you what we're learning and how God is working. So let's continue, and we have the second journey here, and from Acts 16, and so they it says that Paul and his companions, let me go on to the next verse, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit. So we're jumping ahead. This is the middle of, let me back up for a second. So they went in, they first started in Cilicia here, Phrygia, okay, you see that, and they got over to Troas, okay, and then in Acts 16 we have a description of how they were figuring out where they were going to go next, okay? So that's what we're focusing on here. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. That kind of sounds funny to us, doesn't it? I mean, like, well, why wouldn't the Holy Spirit want them to preach the word there, you know? But for whatever reason, God had other plans. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. I don't know exactly what that looked like, but, you know, they had an idea. They thought, okay, let's go over here. Okay, plan A didn't work. How about plan B? God says, no, that's not where I'm calling you to go. That's not it. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas, okay. And so during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so after Paul had seen the vision, it says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So this is very interesting to me because, you know, we're often need to understand what is God's will for me, what is God's will in our ministry, and what is our next direction? Where is our next area of focus? And here they were being led by the Holy Spirit, and there were certain places that God said, no, that's not the place I want you. No, not there. I want you to go over here. And they did that. In this case, God communicated very clearly to them through a vision. So in our case, we are looking for areas where we can expand our ministry in Dakar, where we can make disciples among other segments of the population. We've been working with university students. We have Kathy and two other members of our team are teaching at Dakar Academy. And so we've been exploring one area coming alongside another mission in partnership with a national church, working in a poor suburb, doing that in the Wolof language, which is the heart language of the people there, and doing it in an appropriate way that would be effective in reaching them. And so that's one area that we're kind of at the doorstep of entering that as the Lord provides additional laborers. But we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to know, is this it? Is that where God wants us to go? Certainly there is a need there. There's no question about that. But God has a plan, and so we're trying to sense where is the next step for us to take. And so we appreciate your prayers in that process as we go along. So we go on here, and then the third missionary journey, this was mostly with Timothy, and we're not going to look at any details about this, but we have another map there for those of you who like maps. And so, we know that from Acts 19:10, just to highlight one thing, it says that there was a great great work happening. The Holy Spirit was working in Ephesus, and it says in Acts 19:10 that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, the province of Asia is not the continent of Asia like we think about it today, but it's kind of the western part of what is today Turkey there. That was the province of Asia. But it says that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in that province heard the word of the Lord. So that's amazing. That's really, you know, that's really, really good. If we said all the people in Ulster County and Dutchess County and, you know, neighboring counties, even all the way up to Coxsackie. What county is Coxsackie in? Green County. Okay, so I don't remember all the names of counties. But, you know, imagine if through Grace Church, someday somebody would write that all the people of these counties, they heard the word of the Lord. Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, that's a big deal. Okay, so that happened right here in Acts 19. And it can happen again today with us. Okay, and that's what we're praying for, and I know you guys are working towards. So we're going to conclude now here, and I've just got that beginning of that simple sentence there on the screen, I will, and so let me explain that. So you know James 1, it's a familiar verse, James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So I'm sure you've heard that before. And so I'm just saying as a reminder here that our task this morning and every day that we are there, Shirley, I just saw you, Shirley. So our task this morning is not only to hear and read and nod our head and say, oh, that was cool how God worked back in Acts and with through Paul. And that's true. That is true. But God is calling us to do something as a result of what we're learning today. And so I want to think together with you about one thing that each of us can do in response to what we've learned today. So I want to be clear, though, this is not about earning salvation. Okay, you know that, but just as a reminder, very familiar verse, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know that, and those are often quoted, and they're very true, and thank God they are true. That is so important for us. But don't forget verse 10. Verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So yes, God called us out of darkness into light. He saved us. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And he also did that with a job for each of us to do. Not only our job at IBM or at school or at home or wherever, but also a role in the kingdom of God. So for each of us, he has some role that he wants us to fulfill in the kingdom of God. It's not always obvious what that role is, maybe, but so this I will statement, that's where we come back to this. So I want you to write down on a piece of paper, the back of the bulletin or whatever piece of paper, I want you to take out a pen, I want you to write, I will, okay, very simple, I will I should have said that at the outset here to give you time to find the writing utensils and so on, but I will, and I'm going to ask you to complete that sentence before you go to bed tonight, okay? I will. I'm going to ask you to complete that sentence, and I'm going to ask you to share your I will statement with one other person, okay? It could be a member of your family, a friend, or whoever, but tomorrow, or maybe today, but I want you to share that I will statement with a friend or a family member. So what is, and it's going to be different, obviously, for each one of us in all likelihood, you know, so what might it be? I want you to be specific, okay? I don't want you to write, I will pray more, okay? Now, that would be fine. We all probably can use to pray more, okay? That's good, you know, but it's so, like, fuzzy, you know, like, what does that mean? Okay, well, yeah, I don't know. Did I pray more? I'm not sure. Maybe, you know, but so I want you to be, think pretty specifically, okay? And it can be quite a simple thing, you know, it depends on how God is leading you, but you know, you might say, I will pray something, a prayer like this, maybe. Okay, this is a suggestion. Okay, this may not be for you, but you might say, I'm going to pray this prayer every day. I'm going to say, Lord, bear fruit through me and show me what role I need to play in that process. Okay, that could be a simple prayer. You know, you say, I'm going to pray that every day, you know, for the rest of October. I don't know, whatever, you know, as the Lord leads, okay? That could be something that you say, how you complete this statement. Could be something different, you know? We're going to have we call it a virtual prayer meeting on October 27th, towards the end of the month, on a Sunday at 5 p.m. Now, I'm going to be in Senegal, but through the wonders of the internet, we're going to have a video conference that all of you are going to be invited to join, and we have a limit of 100 people for the video conference. So if exceed that limit, that will be a great problem to have, okay? but so far, we haven't exceeded that limit. But I'm going to send the information about how to participate in that through Wes or Kent. You'll hear about that later this month. But so that's something you could say you're going to do. You could say, I will participate in the October 27th prayer video conference. That could be your I will statement. Okay, that's a possibility. But yeah, maybe it has to do with fasting. You know, maybe that's something you've never done or you've not done for a long time. You know, start small and simple, okay, and follow the advice of your doctor, whatever he tells you. But most of us probably would, I know for me, I would be just fine skipping a meal or two. You know, I'm not going to be in a trouble. But you might have a health condition that changes that, okay? But so don't do anything foolish, but think about prayer and fasting. What is something that you could do, okay? Something you can say, yeah, I did it, and okay, now, Lord, show me the next thing I want to do or you want me to do. It could be, you know, saying, Lord, it could be praying this prayer, you know, every day in the morning, say, ask God, I say, Lord, open the hearts of the people that I'm interacting with today, okay, my neighbors, my people, the guy at the convenience store where I get my coffee, co-workers, whoever it is, your friends, your schoolmates, maybe it's, I want to pray this prayer every day, and that's going to help me be on the lookout, so to speak, for how God is working and opportunities that God gives me. So those are just a few suggestions, okay? That none of those may be appropriate for you. I want you to spend some time praying about your I will statement, okay? But I would like you to finish that before you go to bed tonight. Finish that sentence, whatever it is. I'm not going to call you tonight to make sure that you did it, okay? Kent will, but no, I'm sorry. But I encourage you to do that, you know, because Jesus said, he who has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. So I really believe that shows us that as we obey Jesus, as we incrementally grow in our obedience to Jesus, Jesus reveals more of himself to us. We get closer to Jesus through obedience. That's what Jesus said. So that is my prayer. So let's pray right now as we wrap it up here. And Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for The example that we have here in the book of Acts, thank you for the role, the significant role that the church of Antioch played in sending Paul and Barnabas, later Paul and Silas, and then Timothy and others, Lord, a number of different people that the church at Antioch sent out on these missionary journeys, and how they were praying and fasting and worshiping you, and how you answered those prayers, Lord, working through your servants. People like Paul that we know so much about, but also people like Lydia and people like Tychicus and people like Gaius and others, Lord. You used all these people. You worked through all of them to play a role in the expansion of your kingdom. And so, Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to play the role that you would have us play in the expansion of your kingdom. Right here in Ulster County, across the river, or across the around the world too, like in Senegal or in other places, Lord. So many places around the world are in desperate need of your gospel. And so we pray that you would lead us and guide us. We ask you to help us, help each one of us, finish our I will statement, not with my own idea, not with something that sounds good necessarily, Lord, but something that you are leading us to do, something that your Holy Spirit is prompting us in our heart to do, whatever that is. Lord, help us to do it. Help us to follow you in obedience. And, Lord, be on the lookout for how you are working in our lives and in the lives of those around us, that we might shine our light before men, that they would see our good works and glorify you, Lord. So it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.